Please stand. We'll be reading 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 6. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. You may, and may God just really bless this word.
Amen. All right, I'm first going to remember to dismiss the children. How's that? First time I've remembered, I think, doing this. Yeah, thank you. All right. So I am here today to speak about joyful service. This is the last one of the five purposes that we've been talking about. We've also talked about passionate worship, intentional outreach, loving fellowship, and strategic discipleship over the past few weeks. Those come from our purpose statement. So what do we think about when we think about serving? For some people, it's a positive word. For some people, not so much. But a lot of times, we think of doing physical tasks to get some kind of job done. You may have heard someone say, that person is such a servant. And when we hear that, we usually think, oh, they're willing to do any little job that there might be, and they do it with a good attitude. That's what we think of when we think of someone who's a good servant. So for those of you who don't know me very well, first of all, my name is Sarah. But if you do know me, you might know that I'm always busy doing things. I love doing tasks. I'll stay up late, and I'll get up, and I'll just get started because I just love doing things. I make lists all the time, and I'm always doing things. So I wanted to share a couple of memories that I have, and it'll give you a little understanding about a little more about who I am and why I'm doing what I'm doing here. So one of the things has to do with a childhood memory. I think I was about 6 to 8 years old. And it's what I would think about lying in bed. You know how you try to think of something pleasant to help you fall asleep? You know, like being a princess or something like that. Well, my imagination would be that I think it was in the woods somewhere. I'd come upon a little house, like a little, maybe a cabin size. I would go inside, and it would be totally messy. And my job was to clean it up. And that, to me, was like a dream. What a wonderful thing to be able to clean this little house. So the funny thing is that all I can ever remember is getting to the sink of dirty dishes, and the food would be caked on, and I would start cleaning, and then it would be morning because I would fall asleep. And that happened more than once, I know. So that's just kind of what I thought was great. So another thing that happened, I was a teenager, and I would babysit for a lot of different families. Well, one particular family, I remember them. They had two kids. The mother was a teacher, a really nice family. In those days, it's a while ago, you'd get 50 cents an hour for babysitting, maybe a dollar if they were really, really nice people. Well, I can't remember how much this family paid me, but I do remember their kitchen was always messy when I went there. And I would just be like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'd clean the whole kitchen. I remember folding their laundry sometimes, too. I would get all this stuff done. The funny thing is, they never thanked me. I don't know if they must have noticed, but they never said a word about it. They probably started leaving it messy because they would know I was coming to babysit, or they decided to go out so they'd get their kitchen clean. But I didn't even care. I just had so much fun seeing the finished product. I kind of would have liked them to say something, but it didn't stop me the next time because the task and getting that task done was just so fulfilling to me because of how much I love cleaning messes and getting little things done. So my main motivational gift is serving, and that's why I am in charge of serving joyfully here. So I'm the administrative pastor, and it just kind of was where I fit the best. So many of you have gone through the Serving Joyfully life group, and in there we use the acronym SHAPE, and we talk about who you are and how that works in the church. The S stands for spiritual gifts, which is how the Spirit moves and works through us. H stands for heart, which speaks of our motivation, what motivates us as people. A stands for abilities, which are those talents and things, skills that we have. Some of them are natural, some are things we've worked at and acquired, and those things are things God can use. P stands for personality, and we use the Myers-Briggs, and personality is just a really fun way to learn about how we function, how we think, and we learn a lot about each other as well as ourselves in this group, and that's great. And then E stands for experience, and we learn that God uses our experiences, whether good or bad. He can turn them all into things that will be helpful for us as we minister to others for His glory. So we have our core life groups, and through them, our goal is to bring people, first of all, to a process of surrender and commitment to God, and that's loving God 1 and 2, and then to grow spiritually and possibly become members. That one is called loving people, and then to find a place of service, which is the Serving Joyfully group I was just talking about recently, or just now. As a result of that process, many of you have gotten involved in helping to make Grace function and to get things done. You work with children, help out in the clothes closet, food pantry. You might usher, be part of the worship team, help with PowerPoint, lead life groups. There are all kinds of places and areas in the church where we can use help, and where a lot of you are helping. So some people find a place of service outside of the church also, and that's okay. The main thing is, what is God calling you to do? So, and it can be really rewarding to feel like you're making a difference. You're helping make something work, something that God's doing, and you have a part in that. There are many scriptures that talk about serving. We'll find that it really is something that God wants us to do. So I'm going to share just a few of them. First, I'll read again the verses Catherine read. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. So these verses teach us a few things. They say that we do a variety of activities, but it's the Spirit who ministers through us, no matter what we do. So it all comes from the Spirit. And it says, in all the various ways of serving, Jesus is the Lord that we serve, so we're serving Him. And then it says that it's God, the same God who does the work in all of us, so it is God who empowers us, even though we are doing vastly different kinds of things. God empowers the preacher who preaches. He empowers the people who count the offering. He empowers the person who leads a life group. He empowers the one who gives people a ride to church. He empowers the one who cleans the church. Everything is done in and through Him for His glory. I also want to read from Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. So it mentions serving as one gift in there, but these are all ways that we serve. And these verses say that we're all members of one body, and we have all different kinds of gifts, just like our body has so many different parts, and they function in so many different ways. In the body of Christ, we all have different functions. There's a list, then, that we read that includes prophecy, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leading, and showing kindness. So this list describes ways to serve in the church. You may notice that there is no comparison in these gifts. It doesn't sound like one is more or less spiritual. They're just listed in just seems like a random order. You might think that prophesying or teaching is more spiritual than showing kindness or giving, but they're all listed together with no hierarchy. It's just the way, they're just a list. So there's a place for anyone to minister, and they're all important. Then I want to read from 1 Peter 4, 10 through 11. And says here, God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. There is the word serve again. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God Himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to Him forever and ever. Amen. So here we learn that we are to be good stewards of the gifts God has given us. We're not supposed to waste them, but use them to serve one another. He's given them to us for a reason, and this is the way that God ministers on earth right now. It's through us. We are the ones that are his hands and feet and his heart and everything to the people around us. So we are not to waste those things, but be good stewards. Again, it talks about two totally different kinds of gifts. Speaking is one that's mentioned, and helping or serving is the other one, without making any kind of comparison. They both sound equally important, don't you think? So both are used to serve others, and God is the one who is glorified in it all. I want to read one more interesting scripture. This is from the book of Acts. In chapter 6, it talks about something that happened in the early church. But as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 called a meeting of all the believers. They said, "We apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program. And so, brothers, select 7 men who are well-respected and are full of the spirit and wisdom. We will give them this responsibility. Then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the word." Everyone liked this idea, and they chose the following: Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit; Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas of Antioch, an earlier convert to Jewish faith. These 7 were presented to the apostles, who prayed for them as they laid their hands on them. So God's message continued to spread. The number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted too. Did you notice they needed to choose people to serve food to widows? You might think it wouldn't matter much who was chosen to do that. They could have just picked anybody. But they said that the 7, or the men that they would choose, needed to be well-respected and full of the Spirit and wisdom. One of those men was Stephen, who was full of faith and the Holy Spirit. And later in the chapter, it says that Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders. So these are people who are serving food to widows. So if you work in the food pantry, you're in great company. You're along with all these people who are full of faith and power. So right now I want to say a big thank you to everyone in the church who does something to help Grace Christian Fellowship run. Many of you serve in so many ways, and we have a great percentage of our people. It's at least 70% of our number that attend that help out in some way, and that's really high for for churches in the U.S., I'll say, today. So you are very involved, and we're very grateful for that. So not just a few people are doing all the work. We're all doing it together. Yes, thank you. Give yourselves a hand. Yeah. Sometimes we do a thank you for each area, and we call people up. I don't have time for that right now. I can't list any names, but I just want to say a general thank you to all of you today. And if any of you are interested in getting involved in some way, you can talk to any one of us on the pastoral team, or you can get involved in the life groups and come to Serving Joyfully, and you'll learn a lot more. But the main thing is that God has equipped every one of you to give and to serve in some special way. So I asked if I could share in a little more detail about someone in our congregation, just because we had a conversation a month or two ago, and I just thought, this is really great. This is really what we want to do here. So most of you know Jo McKenner, and she started coming here about 13 years ago. As she tells it, at first she wasn't involved in very much. She just felt like she wanted to just come. But I think she was still ministering because she brought a lot of friends. A lot of people have been here because of Jo, because she invited them. But she shared that she was shy and quiet and didn't really like doing anything more than just going to church. Well, eventually she went through our core life groups and she became a member, and then she says God spoke to her and changed her. She says, "I didn't want to do things at first, but I started wanting more from God, and the first thing that I got involved in was the food pantry." There she is. She also works in the nursery. So I thought, is there no one in the nursery today, or you got out of it? Oh, wow. Okay, so she's helped also now with Children's Church, and she works in the nursery, and she also has started helping Sissy with shopping because she just needs help. And so it's been wonderful to see God working in her life and to bring her to a place where she's wanting to give to others because she has received so much from God. And I'm grateful for Jo and many others like her, and without them, we wouldn't be able to minister and meet the needs that we have here. So I want to say one more thing about serving before I move on to the next thing. We believe that God has created each person with gifts and callings, and we want you to be fulfilled in those areas. We don't want to stick you somewhere just because we want to keep something going, or we need another body just to get a job done. We're not going to keep programs going at all costs. We've actually dropped some things in the past because there was no one who had the vision or the motivation to do it. So we don't want you to feel like we're just using you to build our church and burn you out in the process. That's not our heart. So if you need time to just grow and be replenished, if you've had a hard time for some reason, we're just going to let you be, and that's all right. So we want your heart and your passions to align themselves with your area of service. But we also acknowledge that there are times when sometimes God asks you to do something that may not be your favorite thing to do, and then it's just a time to serve. I think most of us can think of times and places like that. The important thing is to just do what God wants you to do and to listen to him and obey. And if there is a need, you could ask, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? And then be obedient. So we are created to give and serve in some way. Scripture makes that clear. But now I want to talk about one more thing. I've talked about serving, how it's scriptural, and how God wants us to serve, all these things. But I want to look at one more thing. So let's read our longer purpose statement again. Grace Christian Fellowship exists to passionately worship God, intentionally reach out to others, draw them into loving fellowship, and strategically equip them for joyful service. So this statement ends with service. And with all this talk about service, about serving, it might sound like this is the ultimate goal. You get to this level where finally you're able to give out and you're able to serve and do something for God. So, and that is a wonderful thing to have happen. We've seen it. I shared about Joe a little bit, and there's others of you, and we're just really happy when we see that happen. It's a great thing to be able to feel like you're making a difference and to minister to others. But it can't stop there. If what we do, if where we are serving, what we are doing becomes our focus or our main goal, we actually get off track just a little bit. What happens if we try to help someone who is homeless and we work really hard to get them out of their situation and we think they're doing fine and then a month or two later, they're back on the streets, they're back in their addictions? What happens if we're ministering in children's church and time after time it's just crazy and nobody seems to be listening or learning anything and we don't think it's making any difference? What do you do then if that's where you're finding your meaning or your purpose? What happens if we get up early and we have to come to the church to get some task done? There are all kinds of reasons that somebody might have to do that, and nobody even hardly notices. I mean, they maybe notice if you didn't do it, but if you've done it, everything seems fine, and nobody says thank you, and it's just you did it, but nobody seems to care. What about if you give your money and you're not sure it was used the way it should have been? What about all these ways where you feel like you can serve, and then you're not sure it's quite what it should be? So if we minister, whether in the church or outside of it, because of the need or because of the response that we're hoping to get, that won't be enough to carry us through because we won't always get what we hope for in those situations. Someday we will be disappointed. Someday we will be hurt by people's responses. I want to tell a story about a few years ago. We were in Youth with a Mission here in Portland, helping at-risk youth and children. And one of our staff members had been pouring herself into a teenage girl. This girl was from a really rough background, and our staff member spent time with her, loving her, wanting to help her get to know the Lord and just be able to have a better life. And she gave so much of her time and energy. And they had some conflict one day that broke their relationship, and this girl actually spit in the face of our staff member. And she came to us, and she was just broken. It was so hard for her. It was almost enough to make her want to quit. And then she realized that caring for people and hoping to see them do better was not enough. You can't just look at the need around you and say, this is what I'm going to do. I care about this. I have so much compassion, whatever. That's not going to be enough to keep you motivated in times like that. I've read accounts of people online who once were in the church, who have totally backslidden and turned their backs on God. Some of them are atheists, and they tell why, what happened. For some of them, they were disappointed with something that they thought God should have done or didn't do or had done or whatever they think. And sometimes they may have had questions that just never got answered, and so they think he's just really not there. But one thing I've read over and over is people are just so glad they don't have to get up on Sunday morning again and get up and go to church because of just what a drag that was. Even though at the time they maybe thought it was okay, but it's just such a relief not to have to do this duty. And that's what it had become, was just a duty and something they had to do. It was an act of service just to go to church, and that wasn't enough to keep them motivated to follow Christ. And as much as I enjoy doing my tasks, there are times when I get kind of worn out, when I can't get everything done, or I'm on a Sunday morning and I'm just too worried about who I need to talk to and what I need to do, and I realize, oh, my focus is a little bit off here. I'm just too worried about all the things I need to do. So what is the answer to this? If it's not the need or the care that we have for people, what is the answer to keep us motivated to keep serving? What do we need? Recently, I was at a retreat for people that are involved in ministry, and the main focus of the organization that puts on these retreats is helping people remember that our focus is having a love relationship with God. That's really what it is. It's so simple. It's so simple, but we can't forget this. The reason there is a need for these retreats is that somehow, as people, it is so easy to get caught up in doing things for God, and then we forget about knowing God and loving God. As much as we are called to serve, and as much as we may love doing it, we must minister or serve because God has called us to do it because of what he has done for us and because we love him. We're doing it for him. Not for anyone else. It's for him first. And then as we receive his heart for people, that heart is big enough to help us keep going. If we don't have that relationship with God and are growing in it, we will eventually lose steam and we'll have a hard time continuing to serve. This is a simple truth that has been realized by many Christian authors and leaders. I'm going to share a few of them. Andrew Murray wrote a book called The Key to the Missionary Problem. When I first saw that book, I thought there was some big issue that would help us send more missionaries and help them get their work done. The author wrote this book in response to a large missionary convention in 1900 where they had done reports and gave them conclusions and all the stuff that they had come together with. And this is what he saw as the biggest problem facing Christian missionaries: a lack of zeal and love for Jesus Christ. He states, there is a need of a great revival of spiritual life, of truly fervent devotion to our Lord Jesus, of entire consecration to his service. What a simple truth. The central issue for us all is being in a love relationship with God. Oswald Chambers was an evangelist in the early 1900s, and he said something in a lecture to people that were preparing for missionary service that I think could speak to anyone involved in any kind of Christian service. He says, the need can never be the call for missionary or ministry enterprise. The need is the opportunity. Any work for God that has less than a passion for Jesus Christ as its motive will end in crushing heartbreak and discouragement. God's mission flows out of love. Our mission, which is patterned after and participates in God's mission, must also flow out of love. So Dallas Willard, another Christian author, goes so far as to say this: the greatest enemy of intimacy with God is service for God. That's a pretty hard statement. But we can get so busy doing things for God that we don't have time to be with him and to be his children. So that's the foundation. We need to remember that. I want to read a story from one more book. It's a little bit, it's like almost a full page here, but I really felt like this was a great story that explains this even in another way. So Tammy Hutchins was on a mission trip to India. Tammy had never been to India, but having just graduated from seminary, she was sensing a call to orphaned and abandoned children there. So this was an initial exploratory trip for her. She wanted to experience the sights and sounds of India and confirm the direction God was leading her. However, After several days in India, Tammy was overwhelmed. The grinding poverty, endless rows of slaughterhouses, street children and beggars, corruption, idolatry, hopelessness, and spiritual darkness were beyond anything she had imagined. "Lord," she prayed, "I don't really like this country. It's too hard. Yet I believe I felt your call here. I'm confused. What am I going to do?" Tammy realized that all the human love and compassion she could muster would soon be depleted in India. If God wanted her to serve there, she would need his love and compassion to sustain her. In a home where she was staying, a large map of India hung on the wall. Each time she would look at it, Tammy prayed, "Lord, please give me your heart for India." One day as she was praying, the Lord spoke to her clearly. "How can I give you my heart for India," he asked, "when you don't even know my heart for you?" At first, Tammy was evasive. "God, you don't understand. I want your heart for India. I didn't come on this mission trip for myself. I just want your heart for India so I can serve you here." But the Lord persisted. "Tammy, how can I give you my heart for India when you don't even know my heart for you?" During the rest of her time in India, God gave Tammy a deeper revelation of his heart for her. And in giving her what she hadn't asked for, God's heart for her, she also received what she'd asked for, God's heart for India. As she describes it, "He began to pour out his love for me in fresh ways. Early on in my walk with Christ, I had known in my mind that Jesus loved me. Over the past 3 years, he has revealed the depths of his love for me in my heart. During my month in India, he poured out his love in a new measure. I experienced his love for me in the innermost part of my being. I started out praying for God's heart for India. He revealed the realness of his heart for me. And because of this incredible truth, he is giving me the very thing I asked for, his heart for India." 6 months later, Tammy returned to India, and she has been ministering there ever since. God is using her in amazing ways to communicate his unfailing love to the despised and unwanted. During that initial trip, the foundation of her heart was properly established, as she explains when she tells her story. Before you can have God's heart for others, you must know his heart for you. So this brings us full circle to our purpose statement. The first thing we say is that Grace Christian Fellowship exists to passionately worship God. This is our central focus, and everything flows out of it. Because we know God and his love for us, we worship him. And that leads us to reach out to others, to have loving fellowship with each other, to become equipped to be mature believers, and to serve joyfully. But the foundation of it all is a relationship with God. So I want to read one more scripture. It's from Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. "Now Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." So this verse talks about what God wants from us. What does the Lord your God require from you? First, it says to fear him, and that means to reverence him, that kind of fear, not a fear that's the kind of fear that we should have of like lions or whatever, but to fear him in a reverential way. To walk in his ways and to love him. And after that, it says, we are to serve him with all our heart and soul. First, he wants the relationship with us, then we serve out of that relationship. We're talking about the creator of the universe, the one who upholds everything by his power, the one who knows everything, the one who is everywhere, the one who can do everything. This God is full of love. And he wants us to know his love and to love him back. If you've been through our core life groups, you've learned about the love of God, you've committed yourself to him, you've possibly come to the point of serving in the church. We talk in our Serving Joyfully life group about your gifts and talents and try to find a place that fits you. And for many of you, that's very fulfilling. But you can't stop there. You can't say, okay, I've reached my place. This is it. You have to, it's very easy to subtly switch to what you are doing. At first it might seem to be the focus becomes where you serve. At first it might seem like this is just really great. I've never been able to do this before. Now look at what God has done. But then you might start to find your identity in that. You might think, wow, look, everybody knows that this is what I do. Or you might get burned out. You might get tired. Or it might just get boring. Or it just kind of like doesn't seem like it's meaningful anymore. But if you're doing it because you love God and your focus is on him and his delight in over what you're doing. He's with you that whole time you're doing it. And if it's kind of becomes old a little bit because you've done it so many times, then you just remember he's with you and he's delighting in you. He rejoices over you. He loves you. Then it's like, oh, I can keep doing this. He's with me. He's right here. And then you'll be able to also continue through disappointment and persevere. It's wonderful to know his love. And then out of that love, you give of yourself to others. And then he'll keep filling you so you can keep giving. That's the way serving helps. So today I want to invite you to two things. Since we are talking about joyful service, I want to encourage you to ask God if there's a place where he might be calling you to serve if you aren't doing anything, or if it should change, or just be open to what he says. If you know his love, you will want to give back to him in some way and see what he might say. But even more importantly, I want you to remember that the most important thing is to know God and to love God. If you've gotten away from that, I want you to ask him to just help. We all need to be reminded of this almost like daily, weekly. It's so easy to just, because I don't know why. Maybe it's because we don't see him with our eyes and everything around us seems more real. We just need that constant reminder and drawing back to God. And so I just want to remind you about that today, to just be focused on your relationship with him above everything else. So it's something we need to keep doing. Ask God to help you come back to the basic truth of being his child and knowing how much he loves you. So he has called you to joyful service. That is true. But he first wants you to know his love, and you can serve from that place of love. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much for your love for us, for who you are, for creating us even, that we could be your children, that we could participate in the love of the Trinity. We are so thankful for that. But we acknowledge, God, that we so easily forget, and that we can just get busy doing whatever. And so help us to remember, Lord, draw us to yourself. Reveal yourself to us in new ways all the time. Help us to be able to continue to seek you and to make room in our lives for you to show yourself to us. And Lord, out of that, help us to be you to the world around us. Help us to be your hands and your feet and your heart and your mind, your love, that we would show people around us, whether they're in the church or outside of the church, walking down the street, in the store, wherever we are, that we will just naturally serve and be who you want us to be, because we are so full of you and your love. That's our prayer, Lord. And it's kind of a lofty goal, but it's the one that we want to have in our lives. And so we just look to you now, and we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's worship some more.